Chapter 22. I'm in a bit of a daze, mostly because I'm being led down a long hallway by Katerina, my dead sepan. Marina and Adam lag a few steps behind me. We didn't have much to say to each other when we woke up in some lavish private library. All of us were either still stunned from what we'd just seen, or else in a bit of shock from the vicious battle we were suddenly teleported out of. Anyway, it wasn't long until Katerina came to collect us. Except, I don't think the others are seeing Katerina. Marina addressed the figure leading us as Adelina, and Adam's been keeping his voice purposefully low so we can't hear what he's saying. They're both having separate conversations from me. It's like we're here together, but not really existing on the same wavelength. Adam's expression has been clouded with guilt since we woke up here. Now, though, he gets a little ahead of me and Marina, moving closer to the figure that I identify as Katerina. Marina and I exchange a look, both of us getting the urge to eavesdrop. We inch up behind Adam. "Did I do the right thing?" he asks, whatever form the Ella entity has taken for him. I don't hear what response he gets. Whatever it tells him, all Adam does is shake his head. "That doesn't change what I tried to do, one." Ah, I know what he's asking about. Adam pretty much tried to kill Ella right before... well, right before she basically killed herself. I've got my own guilt about that, considering I sure as hell didn't spring forward to stop him. I was planning to let the whole thing go, just chalk it up to being in the heat of battle. Apparently, Adam can't do that. Neither can Marina. She grabs Adam by the elbow, turning him away from the shape-shifting Katerina entity so she can confront him. Knowing her, this anger's probably been stewing for a while now. "What the hell was that back there?" she asks him. I almost expect Marina to start radiating her icy aura. I guess that doesn't happen here in Ella's headspace, though. Her wide-eyed death stare gets the point across. "I know," Adam replies, hanging his head. "I lost control." "You could have killed Ella," Marina snaps at him. "You would have." "He didn't, though," I say, trying to keep things peaceable. They both ignore me. "I don't expect you to understand this," Adam says, his voice soft. I've never actually met Cetricus Ra before, but I've spent my entire life in his shadow, under his thumb, a prisoner to his words. When I got the chance to kill him, to free myself, I just couldn't help it."
"You don't think we want to kill him?" Marina asks incredulously. "He's been hunting us our entire lives. But we knew Ella would have died first, so we stopped ourselves."
"I know," Adam replies, not even trying to defend himself. "And in that same moment, I became the thing I've always hated. I'm going to have to live with that, Marina. I'm sorry it happened." Marina runs a hand through her hair, not sure how to respond to that.
I just can't believe she's gone," Marina says after a moment. "I can't believe she did that to herself."
"I don't think Ella's gone," I tell Marina, waving a hand at the deep blue marble walls of the hallway surrounding us. "I think she's got something to do with our current situation, you know? I saw a bunch of Loric lightning bolts shoot out of Ella's body before we went under." Marina smiles tightly, looking at me now instead of glaring at Adam.
"I hope you're right, Six."
"The charm is broken, though. I tested it before we came here," I tell them, remembering with no small amount of satisfaction how it felt to crack Cetricus Ra's head with a rock. Marina pinches the bridge of her nose. It's a lot to take in, going from fighting Cetricus Ra to seeing him as a normal Loric, to this.
Could he be killing us right now?"
"No. He went down to whatever Ella did, too. We should make a plan, though, because I've got a feeling once this little trip down memory lane is over, we're going to be right back in the shit." Adam frowns, looking embarrassed. I'm in a bad way. I think he broke my whole face.
I'll heal you, Marina says curtly. I was about to do it anyway.
Good, good, I say, and then you guys can help me kill Cetricus Ra.
Adam and Marina both stare at me.
What?
I ask. You think we're ever going to get a better shot at him? We've got his troops on the run, he's hurt, it's 3-on-1.
We don't have our legacies, Marina says. He drained them. I'm going to have to drag Adam out of the crater just to heal him.
Adam nods, studying me. I can tell he's not sure if I'm being crazy or if he thinks it's a good plan. Either way, I don't miss the admiration in that look.
It won't be 3-on-1 right away, Six. It'll be 1-on-1.
I don't care. I'm not wasting this chance, I tell them. I look around at our surroundings, wishing that I could figure out a way out of here. As soon as this is finally over, I'm going to end him. Marina forgets about her anger with Adam long enough to exchange a quick look with him. I guess I might sound a little crazy. At this point, we've entirely stopped walking down the hallway to have this discussion. Katerina, or whoever or whatever has taken her form, notices our delay and stops, clearing her throat impatiently.
We don't have much time, she says in that same stern tone she used to take when I really annoyed her. Let's go.
We start walking again. Marina gets close to me, leaning her shoulder into mine.
Let's just be careful, okay, Six? She says quietly. The sanctuary, maybe Ella. We've already lost a lot today.
I nod, not replying. Marina was the one who wanted to stay behind and protect the sanctuary from Cetricus Ra in the first place, but now that we have a real chance to kill him, she's getting gun-shy. Eventually, the hallway opens up into a domed room with a large circular table that grows right out of the floor. Katerina steps aside to let us enter, and when I turn around to check on her, she's disappeared. The room is an exact replica of the Elder's Chamber from the vision we all shared. The only difference is the glowing map that's drawn across the ceiling. Instead of Lorien, it depicts Earth. There are glowing dots on the map in places like Nevada, Stonehenge, and India, the locations of the Lorelite stones. The gallery is currently empty, but one of the 9 seats around the table is already filled. Lexa looks majorly uncomfortable sitting in one of the high-backed chairs. She drums her hands on the table, the woman obviously not sure what she's supposed to be doing. She looks relieved when we enter the room.
I don't think I'm supposed to be here, Lexa says, rising to greet us.
I've got the same feeling, Adam replies, staring at the huge Loric symbol in the table's center.
I'm not guard. I'd never even seen one of these meetings until that vision thing. You guys saw that too, right?
We all nod.
If you're here, it's for a reason, Marina says.
Lexa looks towards me. I heard the explosions from the jungle. How's the fighting going? Adam touches a hand to his face where Cetricus Ra struck him, then wanders off towards one of the empty seats. I try to figure out the best way to tell Lexa about our current situation.
We're surviving, I say eventually. We pushed the Moogs back, and I think we've got a real chance to get Cetricus Ra, if we ever get out of here.
Lexa nods approvingly.
Hell yeah, she says. I'm keeping the engines warm, though, in case you need to bail.
We very well might, Marina says, giving me a look.
You were the one that wanted to stay and fight in the first place, Marina. Now we've got to finish it.
But don't you get it, Six? The knowledge. It's what we needed. We know what Cetricus Ra is after, and we know how to stop him. We broke the charm. Ella wrecked his machine so he can't mine any more of the entity. Just being here, Marina gestures around the room. This is a victory. Adam's hurt. Ella is... We don't know. And I'm sure Sarah, Mark, and Bernie Kosar won't be able to cover us forever.
Maybe retreating is the smart move. Ella did tell us we should run, after all. Run, or...
Oh, now you want to listen to her, I reply, shaking my head. Look, I don't know what you took away from that vision, but if I learned one thing, it's that Pittacus Lore should have manned up and killed Cetricus Ra when he had the chance. Boom! See, Johnny? Six agrees with me.
John and Nine enter from a side passageway. In spite of everything, I can't help smiling when I see them. That smile falters quickly, though, when Five trudges in behind them. Marina tenses up immediately and takes a step towards him, but John puts himself between them, widening his eyes like now isn't the time. I put a hand on Marina's arm to keep her calm. To his credit, Five seems to realize that he's a really unwelcome presence. He lingers on the edge of the room, avoiding eye contact. John and Nine rush over to us, and we all hug. We quickly introduce them to Lexa, who John already heard about from Sarah.
So, you're in the middle of fighting Cetricus Ra, and we're about to be swallowed by a giant pikin, Nine says, crossing his arms. Some timing with this shit, huh? How's Sarah? John asks me.
She's fine, I tell him, leaving out the part where I haven't actually laid eyes on her for the last few minutes. There's no reason to worry him. His girlfriend can handle herself. She's gotten to be a pretty good shot. John smiles and looks relieved. What about Sam? I ask him. John shakes his head.
I don't know. He's got legacies, and I saw him pass out right before I did. He was definitely pulled into Ella's telepathic group chat. I'm not sure where he ended up, though.
He'll be here in a second.
We all recognize the voice. Ella appears out of thin air, sitting in the same chair Loridas occupied in the vision. Her eyes are overflowing with crackling Loric energy. She rests her hands on the table in front of her, and sparks flare out across its surface. Ella's hair floats out from her head, surrounded as she is by static electricity. We all stare at her, stunned to silence.
Ella?
Marina is the first to speak. She steps towards Ella.
Are you okay?
Ella flashes a quick smile, although she never looks in our direction. Her eyes remain focused on the empty space in front of her. Her demeanor reminds me of the entity. It's like they're sharing a body now.
I'm fine, Ella answers.
There's a ringing quality to her voice, as if she's not the only one speaking, or there are snatches of other conversations coming through.
I can't hold this for much longer, though. We have to get a move on. Don't be scared by what's next.
Scared of what? John asks.
In answer, Cetricus Ra appears in the chair next to Ella, wearing the same ornate armor as when he attacked the sanctuary. All of us flinch backwards. The Mogadorian leader doesn't notice us, though. He can't, on account of his head being covered in a black hood. Chains made from glowing blue lorelite are wrapped around Cetricus Ra's chest and shoulders. They keep him pinned to the chair, even though he struggles.
What the hell? Nine asks, taking a cautious step towards Cetricus Ra. Why is he here? I ask Ella.
I had to pull in everyone who's been touched by legacy, Ella replies. It was all or none.
Legacy? You mean...
The entity, she replies. I gave it a name. It doesn't seem to mind.
Marina chuckles. That makes me smile too, actually. It sounds like the old Ella in there.
Is this legacy thing going to come out and introduce itself? Nine asks. I want to say what up and ask for new powers.
It's here, Nine, Ella replies, and I think I see a corner of her mouth perk up in a smile. It's in me. It is this room. It is all around us.
Oh, okay, Nine replies. Can he hear us?
John asks, staring at the shrouded Cetricus Ra.
No, but he knows something is happening, Ella says. He's fighting me,
trying to break through. I'm not sure how long I can hold him. We better do what we're here for.
What are we here for? I ask.
Everyone, sit down, Ella replies.
I look around to see if anyone thinks this is as nuts as I do. John and Marina immediately pull up chairs at the table, with Lexa and Adam quickly joining them. Nine catches my eye, flashes me a cockeyed grin, and shrugs like, "What the hell?" He sits down next to John, and I squeeze in between Marina and Ella. That leaves only one seat, the one next to Cetricus Raw. No one was eager to sit there. Grudgingly, Five walks over from the room's edge and sits down next to his former master. He looks like he'd rather be just about anywhere else right now and avoids making eye contact with any of us. Perfect, Nine sneers. While everyone gets settled, I lean over and whisper to Ella, I can't keep my mind off my impending showdown with Cetricus Raw.
Ella, you said run or die. I begin, not really sure how to approach clarifying a prophecy with my maybe-dead, energy-riddled friend. Are those still our only options? If I fight Cetricus Raw, will any of us?
Veins in Ella's forehead throb.
Six, I can't tell you what to do. It's all too uncertain.
Now what? John asks Ella, breaking up our conversation. It takes her a moment to answer. There's clear strain on her face. She's concentrating hard on something.
Now I'm going to bring in the others.
What others? John asks.
In answer, there's a rush of noise from all around us. All of a sudden, it seems like we're in the middle of a crowded party.
That's because the gallery surrounding the elders' table is now completely filled with people. They're all our age, some maybe a few years younger, and at first glance seem to come from all over the world. Many of them talk excitedly among themselves, some making introductions, others discussing the vision they just saw, analyzing the details of the Cetricus and Pittacus story. Others sit by themselves, looking nervous or afraid. A tanned boy with dark hair and a beaded necklace won't stop crying into his hands, even though he's being comforted by a pair of blonde girls who look like they belong in a commercial for hot cocoa. The way they're acting, it's like these people have been sitting here the whole time and we're the ones who just teleported into view. I guess, from their perspective, that's exactly what happened. Sam sits in the very first row. A surly-looking girl with a mess of braids sitting next to him. He looks right at me, smiles, and mouths, "Hey." Then the commotion really starts.
"Look!"
screams a Japanese girl, and it takes me a second to realize she's pointing at us. A murmur goes through the crowd as everyone notices us sitting around the table. At first, they all talk at once, peppering us with questions that I can't even distinguish. Slowly, the room goes quiet. A respectful silence eventually falls.
These are the human guard.
I can only imagine how batshit insane this whole thing is for them. And now, I realize, they're waiting for us to explain the situation. I look around our table. Ella is still completely spaced out. Next to her, Cetricus Raw thrashes and struggles. Adam and Five both look like they're about to hide under the table. Even Marina is blushing and looking uncomfortable. Unlike the others, Nine grins, nodding to as many people in the crowd as he can. "What up?" he says. A few people in the audience snicker. Obviously, one of us needs to say something more substantive than that. John stands up, his chair scraping loudly against the marble floor.
"It's the dude from YouTube,"
I hear someone whisper, and from the other side of the room someone else says,
"It's John Smith."
John looks at all the different faces, trying not to appear overwhelmed. I see Sam flash him a thumbs up. John takes a deep breath, then hesitates, He turns to Ella. Do they all, speak English?
I'm translating,
Ella answers simply, her eyes glowing intensely. I don't know when the hell she learned to do that. I'm not going to question it, though, and apparently neither is John. Hi, John says, holding up his hand. A few people in the crowd mutter greetings. My name's John Smith. We're what's left of the Lorik. John walks around the table. He ends up standing right next to Cetricus Ra. I guess you probably saw what we saw, right? Well, that story ends with Cetricus Ra here coming back to our planet, Lorien, and massacring everyone on it. Everyone except for us. He lets this sink in for a moment before continuing. If you aren't sure what this has to do with you, well, maybe you've noticed all the alien warships on the news. Cetricus Ra is here. He's going to do to Earth what he did to Lorien. Unless we stop him. John tries to make eye contact with as many people in the audience as possible. He's really doing the whole leader thing pretty well. I don't mean we, as in my, friends here sitting around the table, John continues. I mean you and us. Everyone in this room. That gets the kids in the crowd murmuring. The crying Hawaiian kid has at least stopped sobbing long enough to listen, but now I see his eyes darting around for an exit. I know this seems crazy. It also probably doesn't seem fair, John continues. A few days ago, you were leading normal lives. Now, without warning, there are aliens on your planet, and you can move objects with your minds. Right? I mean, is there anyone here that can't do telekinesis yet? A few hands go up, including the crying boys. Oh, wow, John says. So you guys must be really confused. Try it when you get out of here. Just, visualize something in your house moving through the air. Really focus on it. It'll work, I promise. You'll amaze yourself and probably freak out your parents. John thinks for a moment. Has anyone developed any other powers besides telekinesis? We call them legacies, by the way. Anyone else? A guy in one of the middle rows stands up. He's stout, with a shock of brown hair, and he reminds me of a stuffed animal. When he speaks, it's with a slight German accent. My name is Bertrand, he says, nervously looking around. My family? We are beekeepers. Yesterday I noticed, the bees? They talk to me. I thought I was going crazy, but the swarm goes where I tell them to, so... What a nerd, Nine whispers to me. Beekeeper. John claps his hands. That's amazing, Bertrand. That's really quick to develop a legacy. I promise the rest of you will get them too, and they won't all be talking to insects. We can train you how to use them. We have people that know, people with experience. Here, John glances around the table. I guess we are all going to be Sepan now. Anyway, there's a reason you're getting these legacies, especially now. In case you haven't figured it out yet, it's because you're supposed to help us defend the Earth. That really gets the gallery talking. Some people actually cheer like they're ready to fight, but mostly they murmur uncertainly, talking among themselves.
John, Ella says, her teeth now gritted, speed it up, please.
I glance at Cetricus Ra. His thrashing is getting more and more forceful. John raises both his hands for quiet. I'm not going to lie and say what I'm asking you to do isn't dangerous. It most definitely is. I'm asking you to leave your lives behind, to leave your families behind, and join us in a fight that started in an entirely different galaxy. Something about the way John says all this makes me think he's practiced it before. I notice he glances towards the girl sitting next to Sam. She smirks at him. I obviously can't make you join us. In a few minutes, you'll wake up from this little meeting back wherever you were before. Where it's safe, hopefully. And maybe those of us who do fight,
Maybe the armies of the world, all of us. Maybe that will be enough. Maybe we can fight off the Mogadorians and save Earth. But if we fail, even if you stay on the sidelines for this battle, they will come for you. So I'm asking you all, even though you don't know me, even though we've royally shaken up your lives, stand with us. Help us save the world.
Hell yeah, Nine says, clapping for John. You heard him, noobs. Quit being wimps and join the goddamn fight.
The respectful silence that had mostly held during John's speech breaks when Nine opens his mouth, like we're in a press conference all of a sudden. There are shouted questions from every direction.
Is that a Mogadorian at the table? Go back to your galaxy, freaks! How do I quit breaking stuff with my telekinesis? I want to go home.
How can we stop them? What's with your eye patch, bro?
Can that scary guy see us? Why do they want to kill us?
And then, rising above the cacophony, a lanky guy with a bleached blonde mohawk in the style of some long-retired punk rocker stands up on his seat and stomps down hard. I guess the sturdiness of his combat boots translates to the dream world, because the sound is loud enough to shut everyone up.
"You lot are in America, right, mate?"
the punk asks John, speaking with a thick English accent.
"Let's say I did want to join the fight and take it to these pasty wankers. How the hell am I supposed to get to you? In case you haven't noticed, there's no bloody transatlantic flights on account of these giant spacecrafts."
John rubs the back of his neck, uncertain. Ella's hands tense on the table.
"I can answer that," she says, her voice ringing and melodious.
Definitely not Ella. This is Legacy speaking through her. Above us, dots of light on the world map steadily brighten. Everyone turns their attention to the ceiling. I remember the brightest ones as the locations of the Lorelite stones we used to teleport. But there are more, dimmer lights taking shape all over the globe.
"These are the locations of Lorelite stones," Ella says. "The brightest ones have existed on this planet for a very long time. The others are only now beginning to grow as I bond with the Earth. Soon they will surface."
Marina speaks up.
"We needed," she falters, gathers herself, "we needed a teleporting legacy to use those before." "Not anymore. Not now that I have awoken,"
Legacy intones via Ella.
"The Lorelite are attuned to your legacies. When you are close, you will feel their pull. All you need to do is touch one of them and picture the location of another stone. The Lorelite will do the rest."
"Is that Stonehenge?" the Brit asks, squinting up at the map.
"All right, then. That's doable." I think one of those is in Somalia," says someone else.
"There will be more changes to your environment," Ella continues, but cuts off suddenly, shaking violently.
Her hands grip the table and actually melt into the wood, sparks hissing out from her. When she next speaks, it's with her own voice, not Legacy's.
"He's breaking through!"
Ella screams. The glowing chains binding Cetricus Ra to his seat shatter. The broken links clatter across the table, yet harmlessly pass right through us. Ella must have lost her telepathic hold on Cetricus Ra's mute button. He's no longer isolated from the rest of us. In one fluid motion, the former elder and current leader of the Mogadorians stands up, his chair toppling over behind him, and whips off his hood. People in the gallery scream and begin to scramble out of their benches, although there's nowhere for them to go. First, Cetricus Ra rests a hand on Ella's shoulder. The light in her eyes flares, but otherwise she doesn't move. She maintains her focus. Not getting a reaction from his granddaughter, he turns to look at the closest guard. That just happens to be Five. Cetricus Ra grins.
"Hello, boy. Would you like to be the first to kneel?"
Five recoils in terror, backing away from the table. The guard are standing up now. I'm ready to charge, but next to me, Nine doesn't seem all that concerned.
He can't do anything in here, Nine says to me. Figured that out when I tried to beat Five's ass.
Cetricus Raw swings his gaze towards the human guard in the audience. I know what he's doing. He's memorizing faces.
He can do something, I say. Don't let him see them, Ella. Get us out of here.
I don't know what they told you, Cetricus Raw bellows at the audience. I assure you, it is foolishness. If you saw what I saw, then you know how the Lorik attempted to murder me for the crime of curiosity. Come, swear allegiance to your beloved leader, and I will show you how to truly harness your powers.
No one in the crowd rushes out to pledge their allegiance to the psychotic Mogadorian, but many of them look justifiably terrified.
I'm releasing you, Ella says. It'll happen quickly. Be ready.
And then the light in her eyes goes dark. She slumps over. I hope that's not the last time I ever get to speak with her.
Six. It's John. He is standing right next to me. We'll be in touch soon. Bring everyone back safe.
Then he and Nine abruptly wink out of existence. The map on the ceiling begins to fade. The room starts to get dimmer. The vision is ending. Many of the new guard have already disappeared, returning to the real world. Sam and that girl next to him are already gone. There are still some left in the gallery, though, and Cetricus Raw zeroes in on them.
I've seen your faces, Cetricus Raw shouts at the humans, totally ignoring the rest of us. I will hunt you. I will kill you. I will.
Well, I'm not going to let this go on. I hop up on the table, bound across it, and put myself right in Cetricus Raw's face. He stops his rant, his black, empty eyes staring right into mine. I bounce from foot to foot like a prize fighter.
Hey, fucker, I say. When we wake up, I'm going to kill you.
We'll see, Cetricus Raw replies.
I feel it start to happen. My body here becomes transparent. The details of the room become fuzzy. I can smell the smoke from the fires around the sanctuary, can feel the dust on my skin. I need to move fast. I'm willing my muscles to snap to as soon as I'm able.
Let's go, I shout. Let's go!
It's time to end this.